Hi, it's John Mez here, and I want to thank you for investing your time, talent, and giftings into our church. I hope this podcast inspires and equips you as we bring faith to life in Perth, Western Australia. Hey, let's open our Bibles to Zechariah 4, verse number 10, and I'm reading from the NLT, the New Living Translation. And so I'll give you some time to get to that. Zechariah 4, verse number 10. And this is the prophet Zechariah that's prophesying and bringing a word. And it says here, verse number 10, "Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand." And I love this. And the title of my message this afternoon is Small Beginnings. You know what? God can work with small. You know, faith as small as a mustard seed and you can move mountains. Who knows that God can work with small? God doesn't need a lot. He just needs a little. He just needs a little bit. You know, I'm amazed, right, that it's as small as a mustard seed, not an apricot seed. You know, not saying it's a little bit bigger. Not, you know, there's seeds that are as big as a football. But I love it that God didn't say that you have to have a football seed size faith. But he just says, hey, as small as a mustard seed. You know, who knows what a mustard seed, the size of a mustard seed. Just for people that may not know. You know the Hungry Jack's burger? You know, the Whopper? Great Whopper. You know, double. Ultimate Whopper. Oh, my gosh. That's amazing. Oh, anyone hungry right now? Oh, I'm hungry. I'm hungry already. But, you know, on the top, there's these sesame seeds. It's as small as one of those. That's a mustard seed size. And, you know, if you just had a little bit of faith, then God can do something amazing. He's not worried about small. In fact, you started small. Very, very small. There were millions of other people in a swimming race, and you were swimming, as small as you were swimming, and you won. Why? Because you're here right now. Praise God for that, hey, that it was you that won. God knows, hey, it's all right. God can deal with small. We've all come from small. It wasn't until what, last week, and my sister-in-law, she had a baby, and what, she's 2.1 kilos, tiny. And, you know, I pick her up, and she weighs like a feather. You know, I thought Lexi was small, but you know what? Sometimes we can forget how small actually is. Sometimes, right? I'm now, like, when I was holding her, Ariel's her name, and she's beautiful, and as I held her, I'm like, oh my God, her, like, little hand, and I looked across at Lexi, I'm like, well, you're huge now, you know, like, you're not small anymore, you know, she's going out, and I remember when Lexi first came out, and you know, all she did was sleep, eat, poo, repeat, sleep, eat, poo, repeat, nothing, that couldn't do much and all that, and she'd open her eyes and that, but now she's like that, you know, she's pointing across and she's crawling around. I like picked her up before after when we're sort of setting up this place, and her white socks are now, you know, brown, like black, you know, they just got all the dirt on them, and isn't it good that Lexi can clean the hole for the city of Coburn, you know, isn't it good that she can do her bit in this church, but you know, it all starts small. It all starts small. In fact, I believe the kingdom of God, it starts small. God works with small beginnings. David, he was just a shepherd boy. Isn't it amazing that David, you know, the prophet, Samuel comes up and says to Jesse, hey, one of your sons is going to be future king. I want you to line them all up. So he gets all of his sons, lines them up, and Jesse, he's got them there, and out comes Samuel. He's going through them, and then all of a sudden, God's like, no, 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 no. And Samuel says, he's like, do you have another son? And all of a sudden, we hear about this young guy called David. The Bible speaks about David was born in iniquity. In fact, a lot of scholars believe that the reason why he wasn't in that line was because he actually was born not from his seed, but from his wife's. And so there he is, born in iniquity. That's why he had, red hair and that. And a lot of scholars say the reason why he was out there is because he wasn't considered as one of the sons. He wasn't big enough. He wasn't good enough to be one of his sons. And it's amazing that in there that God can call anyone. A child in iniquity, a child that was sort of forgotten about, the child that didn't even make the lineup, and just this small boy comes out and he gets anointed from God, but yet he keeps on going out, and then it comes up to Goliath is coming in, and just shepherd boy David comes in and looks at him and goes, what, who's versus this guy? Hey, I can take him out. And he just gets a sling and a small stone. It's amazing how God can use something so small, just a small young shepherd boy with a small stone in a sling, and he can take down a giant and he can propel himself to kingship many years later. But isn't it amazing that God can work with small? I think we're a bit fearful about small nowadays. I think in our day and age, everything's about projecting big, projecting large, being larger than life. But I love it that God is okay with small and God can work with small. And I love it that small doesn't intimidate God. I love that. You know, I love it that he goes from shepherd boy to one of the greatest kings of all time. And I love it that he did it while he was faithful with sheep and God gave him a kingdom. You know, we got to be faithful with little before God will give us a lot. You know, in Luke 16 verse 10 to 13 in NIV, it says this: whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you a property of your own? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. I love this because David was trusted with sheep, putting his life on the line for sheep. A bear would come in. You know, I don't know about you, but if it was me, I'll be running out the way. You know, but David, no, he gets his sling out and he goes and he fires it off to this bear and he's killed a bear. The story says he's killed a lion. Isn't it amazing that he was so diligent with the small that he had, with the flock that he had, and he was prepared to put his life on the line. He was prepared to do everything that he was to protect the sheep, to guide the sheep. And it wasn't amazing that when God saw his heart that was so, honoring and in that place where he was stewarding well what small he had with sheep, God gives him a kingdom. That's God's heart. Hey, that whether you have much or little, it doesn't really matter. But the thing is that God won't entrust you with much if he can't entrust you now with what you have, the little that you have now. So I believe that our smallness is connected to our greatness. As a church, we started small. You know, 20 months ago, we had 27 people, including kids, who gathered and said, we want to plant Life Chapel. This year alone, we've seen 25 responses to receive Jesus Christ in their life. Come on, we can praise God for that. We now have 165 people who call Life Chapel home, including 25 teenagers from our Friday night program. In the last 2 months, we've seen 78 unique people attending Connect groups in our church. Hey, this thing was just a little mustard seed. And now, take a look around, see what it's becoming. Hey, we've got another 30, 35 kids that we have in kids ministry. And I love it that we've got a great generational church of young people, of young kids, of older people, of middle-aged people. Wherever you stand, I guess middle-aged, you can probably make that fit, hey? But I love it. And it came from a small vision Saying that, hey, you couldn't see it here. It was actually just in our hearts. And then all of a sudden, as we started to tell people, all of a sudden God started to, something that was just small, something that was just a bit of faith, all of a sudden produce, and look what we have now. I love how God speaks us through his word. Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. See, the prophet Zechariah is writing prophetically, and Jerusalem, in this time when Zechariah is writing in here, Jerusalem had been conquered by the Babylonians in 586 BC. They destroyed the city, including the temple of God, and the Israelites were in exile. They were scattered. They went to neighboring countries and seeking, being okay to live there and that. And we see that the Babylonians took captive a lot of the Israelites. And in 539 BC, we see the king Cyrus actually defeats all of Babylon and sets a decree that the Israelites can return back to Jerusalem and they can start working on the temple. So they did in 536 BC, but they gave up. They gave up. They couldn't be bothered for the next 16 years. They stopped working at it. They were discouraged because this temple that Solomon built was so huge. It was so awesome. It was so, lavish with gold and lavish with bronze and all that. And it was amazing that when they started to build a replica that wasn't so big but was small, when they started to build small, they got discouraged because, how are we going to get this done? Hey, is it ever going to finish? Hey, is it even big enough? Because the one before was huge. And they got discouraged. And they stopped, and right here we see the word of God coming to the Israelites. Hey, don't despise small beginnings. Hey, one stone at a time. Don't despise it. And I love it how God loves to see work begin. Do you know why? Because God can't work when you're stationary. He can only work when you're moving. It's amazing that people that are stationary in their walk with God, they're like, I don't know what God can do with me or what I should do. And, sometimes in the church, we're like, hey, you should volunteer. They're like, yeah, the Lord hasn't shown me yet. And I'm like, well, if you're stationary and you're struggling to find your direction, you actually won't necessarily feel the shepherd hook come around. It's more so when you're going in a direction and then God starts to steer you. He starts to, come this way or steer you that way. But we've got to make sure with our lives that, hey, God can work with someone who begins. God can work with someone who starts. God can work with someone who's moving, stepping forward. And it doesn't matter how big your steps are. It's about taking steps. Everyone's like, they want the lavish leap, that gigantic leap into their destiny. They want that gigantic leap. I'm doing all right, but then millionaire. We want that gigantic leap, I'm not too sure what God wants me to be, and then all of a sudden, CEO, but often God, hey, the gigantic leaps are just a huge amount of daily small steps forward. And we got to be okay with that. When I think about this, I think Zerubbabel, he had to be able to see the temple in here before he actually saw the temple out there. And I think for us, we need to see what's happening in here. We need to see, hey, let God show you Life Chapel, what it's going to become in your heart, in there, before we're ever going to see it out there, who we're going to become. Hey, God's going to reveal, bring revelation into our hearts, and before we're ever going to see it out here. And I think sometimes we'd get caught into that place where we want to see it first before we believe it. That's not faith. But I also like it that God only requires faith as small as a mustard seed. It's not a big demand. It's not a big demand. It just a little bit of faith. You know, the temple was completed 4 years later in 516 BC. And I think, why is it that, you know, Zerubbabel and all the people, they were so excited to see the temple of God being built? I don't think it was for a building. I think it was for what the building would facilitate. And, you know, we're coming, it's Building Our Future Sunday. And this is where we focus on giving into the future of our church. In this finance that's given today, it's actually going to go towards seeing a building being purchased and land being purchased and seeing Life Chapel's next step. And let me tell you, it's not about a building. It's not about a building. You see, it's actually about what God is going to facilitate and do through that building. See, right now we have five people that work for Life Chapel and volunteer and that and staff and that in our house. We've got people on couches, people on the dining table. We got one, you know, office, you know, people in there, and we're operating. And we're cool to do that right now. There's not a problem right now. But the time is going to come when we've got too many people for the work that needs to be done, and the teams going out to high schools and teams going out to the community. And we're here not to just be a Sunday service church, but we're here to be a 24/7 church. Amen. And for some of that, we need a base to operate out of and all that sort of stuff. And so that's what we're building into. That's the future of our church. We don't want to put it into programs. We want to put it into capital. That when we leave this place, we don't hand over to the next generation a good laptop, a good camera, a you know, some good lights. No. We hand over some great capital of land that they can build on and buildings that they can operate out of, so they can go to a whole nother level than what we could ever go ourselves. Hey, may the generations of tomorrow build on our ceilings. May they walk on our ceilings. May their floors be our ceilings and be our limitations. That's the church we want to be, amen, a generational. We're not just here today and gone today. No, we're here today, and Life Chapel tomorrow is going to look so much stronger, better, and be able to reach into our community so much more. Why? Because we decided to build the future of our church, not just live in the now. So, the future of Life Chapel, what is it? It's about activating ministry and mission. That's our purpose. And the vision of having a building isn't so, we don't want to build a church building, everyone. Let me just get that number one. We don't want to put all this money into something that's just being used on a Sunday afternoon and when we have more service in the morning, right? And then on a Friday night. That is bad stewardship. We want to build a community hub that's the epicenter of community around. Hey, we're not about entertainment at Life Chapel. Hey, we're not trying to compete with Disney. We will never be able to out-Disney, because they're phenomenal at it. And they've got a grace for it, and that's great. But you know what? Let's not let the world out-community the church. That's what we're graced for. We are graced for community. God has graced our church and graced His church for community. So, you know, when I'm thinking, hey, Life Chapel, you know, this community hub, it isn't just something that's going to facilitate services and ministry, but it's going to be something that facilitates mission as well. Do we have a picture that we can pop up? The Life Chapel logo thing? Oh, that's going to be amazing. That's what I'm talking about. You know, saying amazing. That'll be really cool, hey? Building up. Next one. This one. You see how our Life Chapel symbol, you know, it's not the Illuminati, everybody. You're just making sure you know. It's not the Illuminati. No. I see us building something that is as strong on mission as it is on ministry. We need to build something that's 50-50, not something that's 5% and 95%. We need to build something that is right in the middle of mission and ministry. What does that mean for us as a church? I really see it as like a double-edged sword, right? Ministry representing the connecting, equipping, and empowering of all believers across all generations through well-resourced, cutting-edge ministries that make disciples of Christ. Not a logo, not a name other than Jesus Christ. Amen? And so when I'm thinking about mission, I feel like God's heart for us is responding to the heart of God for the world, influencing people in every sphere of life, individually and collectively, from personal evangelism to programs and large events. Amen? That's what he's calling us to. Ministry. It's the church of that, you know, services, connect groups, youth ministry, classes and programs to help empower people and teach people and train people. But then in our mission side, it's our community arm that needs to be as strong. That's programs and events that gives a hand up, not a hand out to people in need. Do you get that? We're not here to give, you know, it's a hand up, not a hand out. We'll never be a church that just gives away money. No, we want to pull people up into another place of thinking, of living. Amen? And so we're talking about parenting groups, schools outreach programs, college training. I can see school running out from out this place, and I know that they run in a few other churches around. My heart is to see it like that, an altar one, like a school that can't run, their kids that can't function in a normal school, and so they create one where they get more focus to pull them up into a new place of living. And I believe that sort of stuff, and cafe and something like that, that's really, hey, we want to build something that our community sees as something of an advantage that helps them. You know, you know what the shame would be? That in many years' time, when we are fully fledged and we're walking in the destiny that God has for us, if we were to close down, our community would never know. I think that would be terrible. That would be the worst. Hey, we need to be a church, and we will be a church that is the epicenter of community. And people look around, whoa, people know what we're about and what we do. Not for a big name, but for Jesus Christ's name, to be the salt and light into our world. So, because of last year's giving, we're actually in an amazing place at the moment. Did you know that last year, for building our future in the last 12 months, we gave $30,275.73? Yeah, that's amazing. Come on, we can do a bit better than that, church. Let's praise God. That's amazing. How incredible is that? And maybe if I had the worship team come up. God is good. God is good. There are people, you know, that sits in our building our future bank account that doesn't get accessed for any of the running operational. No, it sits aside and it sits there because, hey, one day, you know, when that accumulates, praise the Lord, yeah, and when it multiplies, and as we keep on sowing and building our future, you know, we're going to see God do great things, and we're going to see us purchase a building. It's amazing when we are generous and individually so sacrificially what it can add up to as a people. That finance there, that's going towards the generations to come. That's not for now. That's for the generations to come to reap the benefits of that investment. Amen? And so, in Psalms 126, verse 5 to 6, says, "Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them." Hey, small beginnings is okay. Small beginnings is okay. When I think of small beginnings, it doesn't get much smaller than Jesus on that cross. His followers have deserted him, and there he is, one person. Christianity was one person. Talk about a small beginning. But I love that as Jesus, as he's on that cross, why have you forsaken me? All alone. There he is. His great sacrifice built great connection and reconciliation for us, that we are free because of Christ Jesus and what he did on the cross. And we have that same opportunity, and we're not going to kill anyone, please. But as we sacrificially sow our lives, our money, our lives. When you work, they give you money for the time that you've given. It represents you. And as we sow sacrificially, what we're doing is we're creating a connection for community and a connection for reconciliation to God through our sacrificial sowing. So we're going to go around and we're going to give. We're going to give generously into building our future. The dilemma with building our future week is that stuff always happens in building our future week. If you're like me, for our family, last year building our future week, Lexi was, she was due a week later. And I'm stressing going, oh God, building our future week and we're having a baby. Basically, like 2 weeks later, we had Lexi. And I'm like, I don't know how much I can give, Lord, because we need to steward our money well and we've got a baby coming. But we sowed sacrificially. Now, this year, building our future week, we have to buy a fridge. Why does it happen on building our future week? It's not convenient, Lord. Why couldn't we do that a while? No, but we come to the point where we have to buy a fridge. And I guess you get in that tension of, oh God, building our future week, we have to buy a fridge. I don't want to spend more money on a fridge than what I do in sacrificially sowing in the house of God. And I know that we all have stuff in our lives. I know we all have tensions in our finance. But I guess God sees our heart. And it's not about the volume. It's not about the amount that we sow. Let me get this clear. Hey, if this is your first time, please don't feel obliged to sow. This is a part of people at Call Life Chapel, their home. We are building the future of our church. It's going generationally, not for now, but for the future. And as we do so, we're sowing sacrificially. Sometimes it takes tears, but with that, we're going to reap with joy, because one day we're going to be an amazing community hub where kids are coming through and you know, where we've got Risa, we've got Cafe, we've got people that are coming and finding Jesus in it. We're having our programs and our services in this place. It will be amazing. Can we put a picture up of what sort of like a thought of what it will look like? That's what we're building into, church. And it's not here now, but we're sowing into it now. Because praise God, one day we're going to step into that building, and as a church, we're going to step into our destiny.